Life Audio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine. This week, we have on our very special guest, Rachel Cottrell. I knew her from college. We were in the same action group and Christian organization together. We were both leaders. And we reconnected for this podcast interview, and I enjoyed it so much. Rachel is just very inspiring. She's got a lot to share about her faith journey. And we talk a little bit about obedience, especially what that looked like in college. So if that's you, if you know someone college, or if you're going to be entering it, that could be a great thing to listen to. We also talk about how you can just really believe scripture when you're struggling with anxiety, and how God is still working today the same way he worked with the people who were alive during biblical times when the Bible was recorded. We talk a lot about a really great resource that Rachel has been using for her Bible studies. It's called A Daily Walk, and she just gives a little information on that and how you can use that in your daily walk. So please enjoy hearing from Rachel after a few words from our sponsors.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Okay, great. Well, why don't we start with the first question, which is basically just how did you start identifying yourself as a Christian? And you can go as far back as you would like, just kind of to you, how did you get to a place where you called yourself a Christian?
Yeah, well, I will start by saying I am very blessed to have two parents, my mom and my dad, who are believers and who really emphasize the importance of raising me up in church and to know Jesus. And so I have been in church all of my life, which is a blessing because I see people who have not had the privilege of growing up in church. And there's just certain things that unfortunately you don't get to experience and that you get to experience as a child, you know, and like, you know, children's church or Sunday school and things like that. So I was heavily involved in my church as a kid. And I would say like around the age of, I don't know, I was probably like kindergarten, first grade age. I had the full knowledge of what it meant to accept Christ into my heart. And I actually remember praying that prayer with my parents. We were going somewhere. I was so little, but we were going somewhere in the car and I'm sitting in the back seat and I know where I'm like, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And my parents were kind of like, okay, like, because that was something that happened because of how they instilled that. They helped me understand, you know, what that meant. And I'm sure, you know, as a little kid, you only understand so much, but I understood enough to want to make that decision for myself. So that's kind of where my relationship with Christ started at a young age. And I, you know, grew up in the church serving in ministry. And even doing, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's an organization called Child Evangelism Fellowship. Are you familiar with that?
No, but it sounds cool.
Okay, so they are like, basically what they do is they involve teens and they actually equip teenagers in they actually are all over, but I know there's like a Michigan chapter. They equip them with how to share the gospel. So what we do is we would do like every summer, we would do what we call five-day Bible clubs. And we would actually have people host Bible clubs for kids. They would invite like all their family, friends, neighborhood kids. And we would go as teachers, the teenagers, we would be trained for it. We would go and we would teach Bible stories, songs, games, and so forth. So I spent a lot of my teenage years doing that, which I absolutely love because it helped me understand how to share the gospel in a very clear, concise, and also for children. in a way that was very illustrative. And so that was something that I did a lot growing up in my teenage years prior to graduating and going to college. So that's where my story started. But I think the pivot point was when I got to college and I was away from my parents and I felt a little bit of freedom and I kind of took advantage of that freedom. And it was up to me to figure out, like, okay, am I going to continue to live the way that I have been brought up, or am I going to like try to find myself, I guess, as a lot of people do when they go to college. And so I spent my freshman year just kind of not focused whatsoever, school-wise, spiritual-wise, just, I don't know. I don't even know. My mindset was just completely like, I have freedom. Like I was just really enjoying that freedom. And I got involved at Michigan State with an organization called the Impact Movement. And Impact Movement is a branch off of CRU. And the Impact Movement, our target audience is students of African descent. So I got involved, and it's a Christian organization. And I got involved with, I went to a national conference, and I had never seen so many people, so many people that were my age, so many Black people that were sincere about worshiping God. Like, I just had never seen that. Like, I was shocked that, like, oh, like, there are people out here like that, that are actually, like, cool. Cool to be around. Like, and that was so eye-opening to me. And I'm like, this is something I just have never really seen to this extent, like, unashamed praise and worship, like unashamed, like sharing the gospel. And it was, and so I think I saw that and I was just like, it was a completely different version of like having a relationship with God that I just was not familiar with. And I think that exposure right there really started opening my eyes to what my personal relationship with God would be if I can just submit. So that's kind of like where it started. Where it kind of pivoted. And from there, I felt God tugging at my heart to let go of those things that I was holding on to that were not pleasing to him. I had a ton of excuses like, okay, God, like I'm interested in this Impact Movement ministry, but I like to do A, B, and C. I like to go out and party. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I know I can't serve you and do that. You're not going to compliment each other, right? Like that could be a problem. but I felt God just tugging at my heart. And it came to the point where I had to, like, all my excuses of why I didn't want to be in ministry at Michigan State slowly started to go away. I slowly started to lose my desire for those things. And I really saw God leading me, like, this is what I need you to do. And so I really had to surrender, you know, my fleshly desires and commit to following God. And that was one of the best decisions I've ever could have made, because that really helped shape, you know, my relationship with him and my desire to be close with the Lord.
Yeah, and I'd just love to hear, just kind of piggybacking off of that, have there been specific moments or events in your life that have kind of helped shape your view of God, maybe into a deeper way as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one that I feel like there have been many, many moments, and just trying to think about one or two is definitely tough. Yeah, I think, so I'll say, I know I talked about, like my freshman year of college, I was just enjoying freedom a lot. And, so basically my freshman year, I had an experience. It was, St. Patrick's Day, my freshman year. And I was not aware that Michigan State Spartans treat St. Patrick's Day as like Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so it gets pretty wild. And I, as a freshman, I remember my first year being up there, it was like 80 degrees in March. It was just like beautiful weather. Everyone was like, just like drinking and things like that. And I remember being a freshman and like, okay, I guess this is what I need to do, right? Like I need to take part. It's like part of the experience. Keep in mind, I wasn't of the legal age at all. You know, it's just mm-hmm. that was problem number one. But basically what happened was that night, I drank too much, and to the point where like the next morning I woke up just feeling very sick. Cause I wasn't exposed to that growing up. So I did not understand the boundaries, and I didn't understand like how to partake safely or just not at all. Mm-hmm. How about that? Just not at all. And, I was struggling with being sick for days, and then come to find out Like, I think the day after, the morning after I woke up feeling very sick, one of my friends that I was really close with, we had a few classes together. She was also a freshman. She ended up passing away from alcohol poisoning. And so just experiencing, like, first of all, myself feeling sick and then having a mini panic attack, like, is that what's happening to me? Because I'm not educated on any of this. I don't know. I haven't been exposed to this. So just worried about, like, okay, am I next? And also just for her, just, you know, hearing someone close to you that you've been close to having such a traumatic experience as that. And there was some other foul play that happened in that situation. And so that was very traumatizing to me because it kind of was a huge wake up call. Like, hey, this is serious. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not something that you play around with. This is not something that has no consequences. Like, you need to be careful. You need to refrain. And I kind of started to learn, like, that was one of those situations where you learn that, like, you know, this could be someone's life. And so mm-hmm. from that point on, I really struggled with anxiety. I think I, you know, I would just have moments where I would think to that weekend or that instance, and just start to feel like physically ill. And what was actually happening was, like, my mind was running away with, it was just like running away. And I started to, like, my mind just started to think about all these things, and it started to make me physically ill. And to the point where, like, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep. And so I remember struggling with that anxiety for a couple years, actually. I think I would say I finally started to see the other side probably my junior year of college. And I remember just being like, I don't want to continue to feel this way. Like, this is a terrible feeling. Like, it would just come on random times. If I felt lonely, or if I was nervous about something, or if I was scared, or if I was worrying about something, like, I just start to feel physically ill. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just woke me up and realized, like, hey, like, you're not, I felt like I'm not as strong as I thought I was, because I cannot keep it together. That's really how I felt. And so what I had to do, and it was literally, I had to pull out my Bible and I memorized, you know, certain verses in the Bible that talked about praying and asking for peace and trusting God. And I really had to, like, I remember nights where I just said those verses over and over and over and over in my head, like, until I fell asleep, over and over and over until I started to believe it. And, like, I struggled with this for a couple years. And so that was really, really tough, because I would have never thought, like, that one weekend and all the events that happened would affect me for years down the line. Mm-hmm. So that was the one I would say that helped me realize that, like, one, being obedient to God, you don't regret it. Like, it's like, just being obedient. And then two, it helped me also learn that God is a source of peace. Because in those moments where my mind is just all over the place, I had to center myself in God and trust his word and recite his words to the point where I started to believe them in my head, in my heart. And so even to this day, like, I haven't had, like, an anxiety episode like that in a while, in a few years, which I am so thankful for. But in the back of my head, I'm always like, you know, Lord, if it comes to a situation where that's triggered, help me to remember what you have taught me in all those instances so that I can continue to, you know, be strong, continue to trust in you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that story too. I know that's, you know, probably hard to share, and but it's just so true, you know, like, so many of us have been there. I mean, we all have in different ways where we've been disobedient to God and seen the effects of it. And so thank you for sharing what you learned, because I think it can be of such value to, you know, people listening, and just as a reminder to keep obeying him in the different circumstances and choices that come up in our lifetime. And then also I do have a question for you. So, you mentioned that when you were struggling with anxiety, something that really helped you was finding scripture that talked about God's peace. And then you said just reading it over and over again, like at night, just memorizing it. So I guess this is my question to you, because I've been in this boat before sometimes where I'm trying to get something out of scripture, but, like, my heart's almost, like, so riddled with like fear and sin and anxiety and all this that like I can't even like soak in the words as I'm reading them. Do you relate to that at all?
Yes.
Like, what did you ever find like a workaround or something that like helped you get past that block?
That's a really good question. I would say one of the reasons why I had to keep reciting it to myself is because I was not it, like kind of to your point, like you're reading it, but like every it's something personally, it's something in your life that's blocking you from truly understanding and soaking in what God is trying to say to you through that mm-hmm. scripture or through whatever you're reading. And so I think for me, it was repetition. Like I had to literally, I memorized it because I said it so much, but just repetition, even like in my prayers, like I would pray that scripture over and over again. And I think for me, repetition worked just because I had to, it just got in my head so much that it was second nature to kind of start to think that way. I know that that may not work for everyone, but for me, I just had to keep repeating it until I believed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's huge. That's so good. Because we a lot of times we subconsciously act in what is just comes naturally to us. So if a thought or a phrase is naturally just in our minds, then we're more likely to believe it on the spot. So that does make a lot of sense.
And I actually also have one more, and now this one's a little bit more recent, one more situation. And that I really just kind of saw God in a completely different light. And that was when I was actually, it was 2018. I was working for a company in downtown Detroit. And I just felt God kind of prodding me that it was time to leave and look for a job elsewhere. And I was really scared because I just felt like I wasn't qualified for anything. Like I had been out of college for about 3 years. And I was trying to break into a new career field. I didn't have much experience. I just felt like who's going to hire me? Like, I don't even feel like I'm qualified for any of these jobs. And so I was applying, getting no's left and right. And I remember I applied to General Motors as a designer for them. And I was just like, you know, this will be like a dream job. Like, I probably won't get it. But, you know, I'm always the kind of person that's like, the answer is always no until you try or ask. Mm-hmm. So put myself out there. And I remember doing an interview for them. And they were like, yeah, we'll get back to you. And then like 3 or 4 months passed and I heard nothing. So of course I'm just like, you know, all right, well, that's not the right move for me, you know. So, but then something really interesting happened. When I was at my former company, I was actually on a panel to set up, like we were doing like a conference. And so I was on this I was actually on the organization committee to set up this conference, and there was a leader there, and I had heard great things. She had like a great reputation in our company, and she was in the same field that I was in, and she was part of this like committee to help set up this conference. And I remember like, oh, this is great because maybe I can network with her because she's just really well respected, she's well connected. And I remember like in the middle of planning that conference, she kind of just left the company. And I was like, oh, like I feel like I had missed my shot. And then this is so funny, fast forward, I randomly get a call from General Motors and they're like, you know, hey, we want to set you up for a second interview. And I'm like, okay, great. That's fine. You know, and I'm just like, okay, let me do my interview prep like I've been doing for the last few months to get ready for this interview. And the crazy thing is when I get to that interview, it's a video interview. On that video interview is the lady that was on the organization committee with me at my former company. She had moved to GM. And she was going to be, if I was hired, she was going to be my direct leader.
Wow.
And I remember sitting on that video interview and like, she knew my name. Like we had never met in person, but she knew my name. Like she knew where I worked. So she was familiar with my name. And I remember sitting in that interview and just like trying to hold it together. Cause I'm like, what? Like, I don't believe in coincidences. Like I was just like, God, this is just too perfect for this to happen. And so basically, long story short, I actually got the job. And it was more money than I was even asking for. And it was with her. And I knew that she was a great leader. She had a great reputation. And she's my leader to this day at General Motors, which is really cool. But I look back and I realized like that period of time where I heard nothing from General Motors and I thought it was a no, God was literally moving pieces into place to get that ready for me. Because she literally started a month before my interview. So like in those months where I was hearing nothing, she was getting ready to join GM. Wow. And come on as a leader. And so when I saw her in that interview, I just really felt like I think I got this job, because it was just, it was too perfect not to have, like, it was just, it was one of those situations where you just like, this has to be God, because how in the world does this happen? This works out just like this. Direct leader. And so I think that just helped me realize, like, one, like, if God has, if that is God's will for you, nothing is going to stop that from happening. It also helped me learn that, like, I have to just, once again, trust God, because just because I may not understand what's going on, he is working. And I'll see it eventually, but he is working. And, you know, and I understand now why I got so many no's, because that the yes was coming, but, and he had to work in a way that I could see that he gets all the glory for that. Because there's no way I could have orchestrated it that perfectly to happen the way it did.
Oh, yes. Thank you for sharing that. That is so cool. And I love that he works that way. I love that he gave you that, you know, experience, because when you encounter periods of doubt or waiting in your life again, you can always fall back on this memory and just, you know, cling to that. And even, it's great that you're sharing this on a podcast, because if someone listening is in a period of waiting, and if you're ever just sitting there like scratching your head, like, God, have you forgotten me? Like, what is going on? Take this as your sign that he is working on it. I know I've been there before too, and it can be hard in those moments to cling to your faith, but you're so right. He is working. He's never stopped working.
Yeah. And I think that, like, in so many situations, especially mine, I think he works it in a way where it helps you remember, like, this can only be God, because there's no way that I would have even thought to have it work out in that way. Right.
Right.
So I think that is, and he does it, like, part of the reason why he does it in the way he does it is so that he can get the glory. And realize it's not by our might, you know, it's by him.
Right. Like, we can't look at it and be like, well, maybe I made this happen because I did XYZ. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it takes the pressure off of us too, that, you know, yes, we have to be obedient, and yes, there are blessings when we put the work in to follow Jesus, but we also don't have to shame ourselves if we mess up either, because it's not us doing it, it's him doing it. And so and it takes the pressure off of us as well, because we can make mistakes, and not that we should seek to make mistakes, but when we do, inevitably, because we're broken humans, like, we don't have to just put that shame on ourselves, because it's not us, it's always him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like how you just stated that. It really, like, we don't have to be perfect because he is.
Yeah. And it's a hard balance, but that's why I love hearing, you know, people's stories, because it just helps continue to piece the puzzle together of, like, who God is and paint the picture of him. Like, you know, obviously we have scripture and we have prayer and we have, you know, the stories of the Bible and everything to piece the picture of God together. But it's cool when we have other people's stories and experiences too, because it just brings it, you know, to life in a different way too.
Right. And it kind of takes it, like, you know, as you read through the Bible, you see how God works in the lives of, you know, people from biblical times. But sometimes you think, like, sometimes it's easy to think, like, okay, like, that's them, but what about, you know, what about 2022? And God is still working in the same way, just maybe it's slightly different avenue, you know? And I think that it's good to remember that and see that, like, you know, like you said, from other people's stories, like, wow, like, God, you're still working.
Exactly. No, I love that. Well, just to close us out, I would love to hear from you, like, if you have a favorite verse right now, or, just something that maybe God's been teaching you lately that you could share with us.
Yeah, I actually have a resource that I like to share. Cool. So it's, I don't know if this is the company name or just the material they use, but it's called A Daily Walk. Have you heard of it?
It sounds familiar, but I don't know exactly what it is.
So basically what it is, it's a challenge to read your word. And so they have broken down the whole Bible into a year. And what they do is they send you, like, a little paperback pamphlet, like maybe 20 pages or no, sorry, it's 30 pages because there's 30 pages in a month. So they send you one each month, and it would help you read, like, a couple books of the Bible. And it each day it has you read, like, maybe two or three chapters. And then it has like, it explains what's going on in the chapters that they have you read. They have application as well for those chapters and just like just some historical background. And I have really been, I think I've been doing that for the last year and a half. And I've been loving it because, you know, sometimes it's easy to just read through things in the Bible and you, first of all, you don't understand the context or what's going on and why things are being said and happening. And then two, sometimes it's easy to read and you don't really understand how this could be applicable to your life. Mm-hmm. And so that has been a tremendous resource because I hate to say it, but I had never read, I'm still trying to finish reading through the whole Bible, but I had never read through the whole Bible. And the reason was because I felt like I would read something and forget or not understand and it wouldn't really click. Mm-hmm. But it started when my pastor, it was during, I think it was like end of 2020 or maybe beginning of 2021. He just encouraged us, like, you know, we should be reading our words. He's like, don't worry about not understanding what's going on. Don't worry about, you know, not having a study Bible where you have all the information. He said, just read it. And he's like, watch what God does. And so I started reading. And then this resource of the daily walk came afterward. And that's what I do now. But just reading my word has helped me learn so much about God's character. God is so profound. Like, we will never understand the different facets that are God. And I think that reading through my word and just seeing, like, you know, just even from starting from Genesis on, just understanding like how God treats people that he loves and how we as people are sinful. It's so much. I read through the Old Testament, even like through the story of Moses and the Israelites. And it is just, I have learned that God is such a gracious God. I mean, like we always say like God is gracious, but like he really is. Like the amount of times that we sin and he forgives us and still loves us and still calls us according to his purpose. He still fulfills his plans in us, no matter how much we sin. It is amazing to me how he can be so loving and so gracious and merciful. We do not deserve it. And I saw that a ton, even in the Old Testament with the Israelites and how they continue to turn away from God and how he continued. He said, if they would just realize and they would turn back to me, I would redeem them. I would save them. I would bring them back to me. And just how many times he did that is just, it is unfathomable. Cause you read that. I was reading through my Bible and I was getting mad. Poor God. Why? Like, here we go again. But then you look at it, like, we do the same thing. You know, we may not do it to that extreme. We may not do it in that way, but like, we are sinful. We sin daily. Mm-hmm. And God is just waiting. He's willing to forgive us if we just ask. And so that has been so powerful. And like, I wouldn't have understood that how far his grace goes, his mercy goes, if I had not just taken the time to read my Bible. Amen. And so I love that resource, a daily walk. I tell everyone I can, like, if you want to read the word and you're struggling, like 2 chapters, 3 chapters a day is very manageable. Mm-hmm. And I don't get a chance to do it every day, but I try to do as much as I can. It's just been a really blessing me because now I feel like I understand a lot of context of what was happening in the Bible. And now when I see these verses, I understand in what context they were said. It helps me just feel like I'm more knowledgeable about what I believe. In different stages of life, it's going to look different. Right, like I'm not going to nurse forever. So then what, you know, next stage of life, how do I shape my life around this time that I know I need to have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but you're right to make that push for making it a priority because it is so true. I know that the seasons of life where I make it a priority, I can tell that I'm making it a priority. And the times I'm not, it's very obvious because I'm just depleted and, mm-hmm. you know, not as close with the Lord, which obviously that has effects on us. So. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening to this week's episode. As always, you can check us out at sparklefaith.com and we have some cool events and speakers coming up, so be sure to check that out. Also, make sure to subscribe, follow along to our podcast wherever you listen. Also, writing a review really helps us out. It helps to promote our podcast. And you can also check out our sponsors at lifeaudio.com to find more podcasts just like this one. I hope you all have a great week. See you again next week.
The love of God is immeasurable. It's unchanging. It's indescribable. Because God loves you so much, you can sleep through the night in peace. With Abide Bible Sleep Meditation, you can fall asleep fast with relaxing sleep stories based on Scripture. To start listening now, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Bible Sleep Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.